I'm an addict. My name is Khalil. I want to thank God for allowing me to be here because I know without his grace and his mercy, I wouldn't be. Not here standing upright, being able to pretty much consciously remember almost everything that I've done in the past years. A lot of incidents have faded away. You know, that's what happens with age, you know. One of the predecessors says, if you get time in this program, you will get older. and by the way, if you do things the way that the directions are, you get some wisdom too. You know, and I'm sharing, you know, I've done this meeting over in my head. I don't know how many times I woke up and had a, I said, no, I won't share that. And, you know, but I was thinking, God just guide me. Whatever it is you want to come out of me, you make sure you have it come out of me, and I know everything will be all right.
That's right.
I'm old dopey. What I mean when I say that is I shot dope, heroin, cocaine. Now, the reason why I did that, well, one of the many, 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 many reasons that comes up in the process is, well, I grew up in Baltimore City, bottom of Pennsylvania Avenue on Ogle Avenue. I used to look out, I used to see Sweet Daddy Grace Church on that way, go a block over, see the Royal Theater, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And since my family, in one instance, everybody in my family in some way was involved with the game, it was almost natural for me to be involved with the game in some kind of way. So now, my brother, for those people that, if anybody know me, know that I have always, will always love my brother. My brother and I have never, in the 62 years that I've been on the planet, in the 68 years, have never had a major argument, never have we went to sleep at night not loving each other and not thinking about each other dear. He was my hero. Not only did I want to be like him, I wanted to be him. And this cat was the coolest cat. He still is, right? You know, he stopped using drugs back in 78, shooting dope. You know, he still smoked his weed, but that's his business. I can't do nothing with that, right? Him and his crew, Jack, you know, the in crowd. With the in crowd, that was them. You know, they had the Downbeat magazines in their back pocket, three-cone caps on, Stacey Adams shoes with white stitches, toothbrushes in their pocket to make sure that the stitches was right. You know what I mean? When they came in the room, everybody said, oh, there they go. They always had cake, always had bank, all the girls loved them. And I said, man, Jack, you know, I wanted to be here because my brother, my hero, was like that. You know, and now, when he got involved in drugs, right, I couldn't see the real picture, but I knew that because they were hustling, they were making money, like him and one of his main homies, Jack, they come in and they peel off to the side, and, you know, do some stuff, man, you know, but me still being a kid, right, and being very, and he could do no wrong, so it didn't make no difference. So I got involved in the drug game because I'm a young hustler. I'm not talking about stealing at that point. I'm talking about, I had a bottle, a route, you know, you just get milk bottles, they would cost 20, you get 20 cents, all of that kind of stuff for them. I had soda bottles, I had people I went to store for. I mean, like, usually if we went to Hershey, Pennsylvania, I treated everybody because I made sure I had money. I've always been like that. But I wanted to be like them. They was the coolest motherfucker in the town, Jack. You know, so I began to follow some of them habitual things that they were doing. I remember the first time that I went to try to cop some drugs down, cats over here said, man, nigga, get the fuck away from here. You know, young ass nigga, man, get the fuck away, right? You know, and after a while, man, you know, money, they ain't turning the money away, you know. And I never did crack. I never, I'm one of those. Now, but you got to also know that my ego and pride was at such a point that I looked at y'all, I said, man, people that did crack, I said, y'all stupid ass motherfuckers. Let me show you what to do with them drugs when you fucking it up. You just wasting that shit. Let me show you. You know? And that's how I thought, you know? But like, I did heroin, I drank, I started walking under the influence of alcohol. I did every drug you can think about during that period of time. But heroin was my love because that made me cool.
That's right.
And then cocaine, mainlining out. Oh man, I was the coolest motherfucker in town. I want to see, like, being very deliberate, right? I wanted to be Iceberg Shorty. You know? First time I got locked up, I read every single book, all the Donald Goins, all Claude Browns, all everything that you could think about that we read with their light coming through the cells and shit. I read every last one of them. And because I'm a literate person, and God has given me some intellect to be able to use for His will and His purpose, even though I didn't do it then, I was very, very astute. So, you know, I wanted to be cool. Again, the cocaine, man, had me being able to be deliberately cool. Now, what I did is abuse people with that process. Because me acting out emotionally and being motivated by getting my way, the drugs just made me more vicious and more angry and more deliberately trying to induce pain on you. I've shot dope. I'm not the addict that stayed in his block. You know, I am an international dope fiend. You know, by the way, let me also tell you that I'm also an international recovering addict. Be clear about that. You know, New York, Chicago, St. Louis, Texas, Indiana, Kentucky, and then most of these places are the places I live more than 6 months. And I should tell you that any place I live more than 6 months, I did time. Pure insanity. I came in the rooms because, now, I first was exposed in 1969. My first exposure, because I had OD, and they said I needed some help, and, you know, legal systems, and a lot of people. Now, this is 1969. They had me go to meetings and made me, and I said, these motherfuckers are crazy. They really don't know who I am. You know, so needless to say that I didn't do anything. And by the time I got back, I think in 85, I had been beaten up enough to know that I needed to stop. But not enough to understand that I really had a disease. You know, in fact, to be quite honest with you, in as much as I haven't shot no dope since September 23rd, 1987, I really did not understand the effects of the disease to something like 2006 or 7. You know, now, this literature says we are not only people who have spiritual awakenings, but there is a particular awakening we experience as a result of working the steps. My powerlessness, right? My powerlessness was demonstrated in so many different ways. My powerlessness was demonstrated in me trying to run my own life and putting God over there in the backyard. So I'm not one of them addicts that said, God, if you take me out of this, I'll never do this again. I did what I did intentionally. And because I was also taught by them cats on the avenue, like, jail is an occupational hazard, be expected to go to jail. When I did what I did, I expected the results. If I robbed a bank or something like that and got caught, then if I get ready to go to jail, then I need to go to jail and do that damn time. Okay? So my powerlessness, as I understand it today, and I ain't talking about your experience, I'm talking about mine. As I understand it today, my powerlessness is me putting God out of my life and trying to run it myself. That second step, let me tell you, and there's so much I can say about it because I live this, I don't work it anymore, I live it, it's who I am. That second step, what I did and I didn't know then, it's in the book, He said many of us go to this with minimal concern just to find out the rest of them don't work. And because I've ordained in a bunch of different religions, you know, I'm always intellectually know God, and every spiritual principle that you can think about coming up with, I practice. But put the understanding, the relationship, the personal relationship, I did not have. Man, I had a relationship with honesty. I had a relationship with not stealing. In fact, I can honestly say I ain't stole nothing literally in a year. I'm checking it out to make sure, right? You know, because if somebody's ink pen, I'm ahead, but I gave it back to them. You know, but I haven't stole to make a living in 20 some odd years. But that second, I'm gonna come back to that. I made a decision in 1987. To turn my life over to the care of God. Now what I did is I got a sponsor and started following some directions. Those directions were doing the steps with the sponsor. So turning my life over, doing the steps, because I had to follow somebody else's decision making ability, because I did know, at least intellectually, that my decision making ability wasn't working too swell. Okay, so like doing the inventory, following the directions, writing all that stuff down, I began to find that I was a real resentful, angry person. I didn't like white folks, I didn't like black folks, I didn't like nobody. You know what I'm saying? I put up and tolerated with you because you had something that I wanted. And because I knew how to talk and knew how to moms and even brother, they taught me manners quite well. Now what I found, I wanted to be a player. You understand that? That's the mentality I come from. I knew how to follow directions. I know the power between please and thank you. There is a lot of power in words, and understanding that when I get to the fifth step and I'm sharing all of this stuff and my sponsors give me this kind of feedback to allow me to know some stuff about myself, I found out that as long as I keep following this process, I don't have to use. Fifth step. As long as I keep revealing myself, I don't have to use. But in that sixth step, the power of words came in, you know. You know, when I came around, right, and people were going through the sixth step, they started talking about, man, I got to that sixth step and I started affecting all over the place. You know what I'm saying? And my sponsor say, man, what you think about all day, you become. If I start thinking about how much I can be a thief, then I see more opportunities to steal. So when he said, instead of thinking about how many times or the character defect, look at the opposite quality. So I started looking at the opposite quality. I won't be honest with you. Now, at the same time, I did not understand that honesty and truth were not the same thing. Didn't understand that. You know, and actually I can tell you, still some years came before I really, really understood that. But there were some elements in life that I was able to understand. But, so the seventh step, right, now, to me they're not the same. That's not how I learned it. But I ain't mad with you if you think differently. So, cool. What happened with this seventh step is shortcomings, short-sightedness of values. The reason why. Rationalization and justification. If I do a simplicity, motives. If I stop acting out on it, sixth step, my motives change. Seventh step. I told you I stopped stealing, right? When I stopped stealing, like, you know, I did not stop stealing because I wanted to be all righteous and all that. I stopped stealing and I ain't gonna go to jail. And I ain't want y'all laughing at me. You know, I told somebody the other day, like from the age of 16 to the age of 35, I didn't spend a whole year, one solid year, did not spend one solid year on the street. Straight. I got 364 days one year, and the 365th day, I got locked up. So, like dealing with the motives, what had to happen is my motives had to change. When I stopped stealing this time, or what my reason for not stealing today is because I want to honor God's will for me. Not because I'm scared to go to jail. Believe me, if something should happen and my family would get in such a place that I had to steal in order for them to survive, and I know God ain't gonna take me there with that, I'd still have no doubt about that. But my motives would still be to serve Him. That eighth step, man. If y'all know about this eighth step, man, the eighth step is the one. It's the maker of it all. It talks about eighth step deals with forgiveness. Where my life really began to change, I had gotten one of them relationships, right? You know, and I'm telling you, if you listen to anything what I was saying, most of my relationships with women was me being manipulated and emotionally abusive and me wanting my way. You know, you usually have three or four, very seldom ever had one, you know. So, and what really happened is this last time, within the past 10 years, I fell in love, or might have been in lust, I don't know what the hell it was, but I fell in it, you know. And I got everything my hand called for. You know what I'm saying? I got 20 years of emotional abuse and all of that with the Egyptian shot straight in the vein, Jack. And I was, oh, man, why did you do that? And what I did know now, at this point in my life, I knew that I did not want to be the guy that I used to be. The guy that I used to be was saying, I get that, pardon my language, ladies, please. I'm going to get that bitch. She just don't know. See, I'm the type of motherfucker that'll give a goddamn woman a penny and say, here, go buy. Hey, this is about all the fuck you worth. And I've done that. I said, God, please help me. Now, this is the time in recovery, y'all. This ain't freshly coming in. I said, God, please help me. He took me to another book and it showed me about the process of forgiveness. Now, the funny thing about that, intellectually, I know about the process of forgiveness, but I didn't know how to practice it. So I began to practice it. You know what they say, application? We got to do application. You know, long suffering and stuff like that. What I did is, I'm going to tell you what I did and to give you a better story on that. I had turned the telephone off on for them and, you know, oh, by the way, did I say she was a newcomer? Oh, I forgot about that. Anyway, I turned the telephone on for her, right? Because I knew she needed a phone to be able to communicate to get all of that rich recovery and stuff, right? So when she did what she did, man, I said, fuck this bitch, don't say no goddamn phone. You know? So I turned the phone off. And then that message from God came to me. Yeah. I turned the phone back on. I turned the phone back. Now, what you want to understand is, and I don't remember exact times. I am not the person that remembered the exact last time I used. And I am not going to listen to people tell me, say, I'm going to use it. I'll remember. Fuck that. Okay? But what I can tell you is, 2006 until maybe year before last, the phone was on. Until she came to me and said, I don't need this no more, I'm getting it in my name. I kept it on. Why? Because my motives was to help her. And I very seldom give, listen to this please, I very seldom give money to people that are asking that I see every day. Because I don't want to remember who I help. You know, somewhere in one of the books I read, it talks about do that type of stuff in the closet. So I do it. I give stuff that I want to keep to people because I know I should not have no relationship with that and put that above God. This is what I do today. We're talking about awakening of the spirit. When I initially came in here, my spirit was so dusty. I told you, the cocaine, heroin, self-motivation, self-fear, self-degradation, all of that stuff was running my life to such a degree that everything, 90% of every, even I have children that I love, but I took care of them because I wanted to look like a good father, not because I was. I started sponsoring people in this fellowship because I wanted to look like I was a good person and knew what the fuck I was talking about, not because it was the right thing to do. That's who I was. And by the way, I'm not all of that divorced from who I was to think that I can't go back to it if I don't keep doing what I do today. Now, what do I do today? Man, I don't, let me tell you something. I don't have my, the rules that I go by. There's the big rules that come, go deal with the Constitution. That's the hardcore rules right there. Then there's doctrine. Yeah, some people here went over, but then and some of them got it. So now what has to happen between the rules and the doctrine? I have to be able to do my acting out. And that's my spirituality. So between those rules and the doctrine, I have found out, let's see, it says, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions. Now, I'm talking about the steps, but I had to go to this point because if you understand about the traditions, you can't practice traditions unless you practice steps. Because the individual must practice the steps in order to be able to go into a group and practice those same principles. So when I get you what is the real foundation of this process, anonymity. What is anonymity? Well, sacrifice. Now, initially, I sacrificed out of survival. I'm definitely a survivalist, you know what I mean? I know how to survive. I'm over here, I know how to survive. I can get into where they can speak in juba 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 and come up out there being able to say juba 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 the same way they did. And make them be able to eat the same day. Okay? Today's sacrifice is because I love. Do I love everybody? I don't know. But do I have the capacity to love everybody? Yes, I do. And do I do my best? Yes. And by the way, there are a bunch of, pardon my language, motherfuckers that I don't like. And motherfuckers that I don't fuck with. And 90% of them know who they are. And we see each other and we don't fuck with each other. But this program has taught me that whether I like them or not, I better help them if they need it. And that's what I stand on. See, principles. Principle is an idea or set of ideas. When put into action, it produces results. I practice the spiritual principles of this program. This is the living clean book, right? And I've done a lot of notes. You know, I've got 50, man. Every time I get finished marking a book up, I retire it and go for another one because I need to make sure that what I get is fresh. And I write a lot. I got a book coming out soon, one day. So, I read this book to know how to recover. What book do I read to know about God? Thank you for allowing me to share.